So friends, today we are starting a new sermon series called Basking in the Light. This series is going to cover the Sundays between Epiphany, which we celebrated last week, and the start of Lent, which is about a month and a half away. Over the next 6 weeks, we are going to bask in the light of God. We're going to remember that the very same light that led the Magi to the manger is still shining in the world today. And this is good news, because we need that light now more than ever. There is so much in the world that is hard and heartbreaking, but the light of God will give us strength and guide us through. So over the next 6 weeks, we will soak up all the goodness and grace we can, all the healing and hope, all the love and life. We will bask in the light of our God. And we're going to start this week by basking in the light of God's love. We're going to find ourselves standing on the banks of the Jordan River on this Baptism of Jesus Sunday. We're going to see what happens when Jesus comes to be baptized by John. Now remember, the author of the Gospel of Mark does not ease us into his gospel with the beloved Christmas stories we're used to. In Mark, there's no Mary or Joseph, there's no manger, no shepherds, no magi. In Mark's gospel, there's actually no baby Jesus. Instead, Mark dives right in, literally, and begins his gospel with the account of John the Baptist preaching and baptizing in the wilderness. He has come to proclaim a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and people are flocking to the Jordan River to be baptized by him in the water. But John also knows, he also proclaims that there is one more powerful than he who is coming after him, one who will baptize not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. So let's see what happens when that very one arrives at the river. Listen now for the word of God in Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. We Will you please join with me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was a United Church of Christ daily devotional a few years ago that had a quote from renowned theologian Howard Thurman. Speaking about his alma mater, Morehouse College, Thurman once said this: "Over the heads of her students, Morehouse holds a crown that she challenges them to grow tall enough to wear." These words have served as a call of sorts, attempting over the past several decades to summon the best from every incoming Morehouse College student. There's something powerful about seeing greatness in someone before that person even realizes how great they are. It's one thing to be challenged to transform yourself into something good, but the more powerful challenge is to realize the good you already are and to be inspired to realize your full potential. Now, according to Mark's gospel, before Jesus ever performed any miracles, before he interceded on behalf of the weak or tended to the wounds of the afflicted, before he blessed the broken or challenged the powerful, before he gave up his life and broke the bonds of death and proclaimed the good news of new life, before he did any of that, Jesus was affirmed by God. Now, Mark tells us that John the Baptist was standing on the banks of the Jordan River, inviting people to make their way back to the very heart of God. Country folk and city folk alike flocked to the banks of the Jordan to hear this man who was dressed as a prophet and who proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was strange, really, that so many people from so many places plunged into that water because of that man's proclamation. Now, ritual washing was very familiar for Jews. Symbolic washing and purifying were woven into the fabric of Jewish ritual life. But full immersion was reserved only for Gentiles who converted to Judaism. Baptism by immersion was the ritual way in which new converts were cleansed from all the pollution of their past lives so that they could begin their lives anew as members of the household of God. So baptism wasn't totally new to the Jews who made their way to the banks of the Jordan River. What was new about John's baptism was that he, as a Jew, was asking other Jews to submit to something that only a Gentile was supposed to need. But there was no shame in what John was calling his fellow Jews to do. There was no shame in this call to repentance. There was only freedom. The freedom to let go of sin and start over. The freedom to plunge into the water and emerge into new life. John's call to repentance was a reminder to everyone gathered at the river that God knew they weren't perfect. God knew everyone there needed forgiveness of some sort, and God was willing to bless them anyway. There was nothing that should stop them from basking in the light of God's love. So there he was, John the Baptist standing on the banks of the Jordan River, inviting people to bask in the light of God's love. And then God's love showed up in an extraordinary way. Mark writes, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. So before Jesus ever performed a single miracle, before he ever interceded on behalf of the weak or tended to the wounds of the afflicted, before he blessed the broken or challenged the powerful, before he gave up his life and broke the bonds of death and proclaimed the good news of new life, before he did anything, Jesus was blessed and affirmed by God. He wasn't challenged by God to transform himself into something good. He was claimed as God's son. He was called God's beloved, and then he was sent forth to live and to love, to work and to witness, to tend and to transform out of the grace that God had already placed within him. Jesus didn't do the work of his ministry in order to earn God's love. He was able to do the work of his ministry because he knew in the deepest places of his soul and the furthest corners of his heart, he knew he already was God's beloved. It was that love that would allow him to do the hard and holy work of his ministry. Now, friends, here is the good news. We too are God's beloved. Through our baptisms, we are claimed as God's own, we are called God's beloved, and we are then sent forth into the world to live and to love, to work and to witness, to tend and to transform out of the grace that God has already placed deep within us. It is that love that allows us to do the hard and holy work of transforming the world. And the promise of our baptisms is not that we have to earn God's love, but that we already and always are God's beloved. So if you close your eyes and quiet your heart and open your ears, maybe you can even hear God whispering right now, "You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my beloved. And with you, I am so well pleased." And friends, we need to hear these words, because there are so many other voices in our world that compete for our attention. Messages from our culture and from the media and even from within our own heads. So when we hear voices telling us we're not good enough, or thin enough, or rich enough, or smart enough, we can remember that God says, "You are my beloved." When we are encouraged to raise ourselves up by trampling others down, or if we are tempted to proclaim our ultimate allegiance to someone with worldly power and not eternal power, we can remember that God says, "Come and follow me." When the voices in our own heads hold so tightly to shame and doubt and fear, we can remember that God says, "I have given you new life." When we look at all the brokenness and grief and pain in the world, when we bear witness to the forces of corruption and power and privilege that are tearing our country apart, we can remember that God says, "My Spirit lives in you. I have prepared you for the hard and holy work of transforming the world." And when we feel hopeless and helpless, we can remember that God says, "Nothing is impossible with me." Friends, through the sacrament of baptism, we do not claim that we have taken hold of God, but that God has taken hold of us. Through our baptisms, we are claimed as God's own, we are called God's beloved, and we are sent forth. We are sent forth into the world to live and to love, to work and to witness, to tend and to transform, to help and to heal. And we do that out of the grace that God has already placed deep within us. That is what gives me hope during these tenuous times. That is what gives me some sense of peace during these difficult days. That God has called us and claimed us as his own, and that God has prepared us and empowered us to transform the world. So friends, remember this. You do not have to earn God's love. You are already and always God's beloved. And now, the world needs you to live out of that love. Our country needs you to live out of that love. Yes, we need more than just love. We need truth. We need justice. But let us start standing in the waters of our baptism. Let us start with love. And let us let God's love guide everything we say and do in the days and weeks and months ahead, because it is that kind of love that can transform the world. It is that kind of love that can save us all. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, friends, a couple of weeks ago, I was on Facebook and I found this blessing. And I saved it and I put it aside because I thought this will be perfect for the baptism of Jesus Sunday that we will celebrate, the second Sunday of January. And then everything happened in our world and in our country this past week. And maybe, like me, you might have felt a little unmoored. And yet it was the love of God that kept me grounded. It was the love of God that gave me some sense of peace, and it was this blessing of love that seemed more appropriate now more than ever. So I'm going to share this blessing with you, and this blessing invites us to think about the different parts of our body that might be used by God in the world. So this is where I want you to take some water. And we are going to stand in the promises of our baptisms. And if you haven't been baptized yet, that is okay, because God loves us even before our baptism. So you can still claim the power of this water to bless and transform your life. So as we talk through this blessing, I will invite you to dip your hands into the water and to touch first your eyes and then your ears and then your hands and then your feet and then your heart. So friends, hear this blessing of love. "The world now is too dangerous and too beautiful for anything but love. So may your eyes dip your fingers into the water and then touch your eyes. May your eyes be so blessed, you see God in everyone. Now your ears. Your ears be blessed so you hear the cry of the poor. Your hands. May your hands be so blessed that everything you touch is a sacrament. Your lips. May your lips be so blessed so you speak nothing but the truth with love. Your feet. I gotta bend down for a second. May your feet be so blessed. You run to those who need you. And now your heart. May your heart be so opened, so set on fire, that your love changes everything. Amen. And friends, our closing hymn really amplifies this blessing. It invites God to take our whole lives, to consecrate everything about us and use us